This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Well, hello, everybody. This is Hal.
And this is Melanie.
And we want to welcome you to another episode of Making Biblical Family Life Practical. We are in the beautiful mountains of western North Carolina, surrounded by the fall foliage, and we're at a church conference at Ridgecrest Conference Center. And this is an appropriate setting for what we're going to talk about today.
We're going to talk about doing ministry with your kids.
We had one of our readers or listeners had asked us, you know, what are your comments about this? Because they were a young couple that's in ministry or stepping into ministry, and they're wondering about impact on their families. And we've got a lot of experience with this, but we want to share a couple of stories with you first to just kind of set the stage for this. We were at a retreat. I don't think you were even at that retreat. Yeah, you were, because that was a conversation they had with you.
Okay.
You were at a retreat a while back, and a young mother with a whole bunch of kids expressed to you her doubts that maybe she made the wrong decision getting married and having children because she felt like that prevented her from going out and being a missionary. And say, I could be out working for the kingdom, but I've tied myself down with a family.
Wow. I hope she didn't say that to her kids.
Yeah, I'm sure that plays out real well at the dinner table.
You know, that, and I heard somebody say that in a Facebook group just the other day.
Mm-hmm.
A young couple wondering if they should have kids because they wanted to be used in ministry. But, you know, I would propose that you can do both. In fact, sometimes doing both ministry and family makes your ministry better.
Well, okay, here's a situation. We've got a friend who's a missionary overseas, excuse me, and he came into an existing ministry that had been very hard, very impenetrable to the gospel.
Almost no converts.
Almost no response. And the outgoing minister said, you know, God bless you because this is a hard, stony field. Well, you know, he moved down there with his family and got started preaching the word and working with the church and building into the community. And he started seeing converts. He started seeing people coming forward and accepting Christ and growing in the Lord. And after a while, he asked some of these new converts, what's the difference? Because I know the man that was here before and we teach the same thing.
And they said, well, you know, that man, he sent his kids away to school. And we thought any God who doesn't love children is not a God I want to serve.
So the fact that our friend had taken his family, that was a nervy kind of thing to do. He took his family out on the mission field with him, and that opened up the hearts of the people he was trying to reach.
Right, because that other missionary who was making a grave sacrifice for mm-hmm. what he thought was the gospel, he sent his kids away so that supposedly he and his wife could put their full attention on the gospel, but the Lord didn't give fruit.
Mm-hmm.
But our friend that went with his kids, and yeah, that this was many years ago, and that was when that was a nervy choice.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord blessed it, and people responded because they saw, no, it wasn't that this God hates children.
Right.
You know, and so I think that the Lord uses us where we are.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I don't think it's profitable to think, well, if I had not had children, I could have been in ministry. We are in ministry because we have children.
That is so true. That, you know, we're in ministry largely because, at least initially, because we wrote a book about parenting. And that was only after being parents to a lot of kids for many years that gave us the experience to be able to teach about it. And, you know, we dealt with this from the very beginning. I mean, day one, when we first went out, started speaking at conventions, we had, I think, seven children at home. And I think one that was in college as an adult. And the rest were, you know, high schoolers and like probably 17 down to a baby.
Yeah.
And so we didn't have a whole lot of choice when we were going to be traveling to conventions and things. We kind of looked at each other and said, you know what? We want to take our family with us because we don't want to be separated from our kids. And
I didn't want to lose my kids teaching other people how to raise theirs.
Yeah, it's kind of ironic if you have a parent, somebody talking about parenting, and where are your kids? Oh, their grandmother's raising them for us. That wasn't going to happen. And so, you know, so that meant that we we still, to this day, we still drive to most events. And that means many hours behind the wheel, camping along the way, staying with friends. We do a lot of things to make that happen. But you know what? One of the things we've seen is that having our children with us has been not just a help to the ministry, in some cases, a validation of it.
Well, it really has. People want to see us interacting with our kids. They want to see, to meet our children and talk to them.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they want to see, you know, what kind of people we are. And it's hard. You know, it's hard traveling as a family. We're on the road for months out of the year.
We drive probably somewhere between 20 and 30,000 miles a year just for ministry purposes. So
mostly in a van.
Mostly with our kids.
Mostly in a big van. We pull a cargo trailer behind us. It'd be nice to have an RV so we could, you know, have a place to stay sometimes. But
mm-hmm.
we've lived it. But, you know, do you remember when we went to, I think it was Saskatchewan in Canada?
I believe that was. And, excuse me, we told the organizers, now, you know, we're going to bring our family, but they are at our expense. We understand that you're not paying to bring a whole bunch of people. You're paying for the speakers. And so we're just letting you know, we're going to bring our family, but we're covering their expenses. But they were super gracious about it. And they said, no, we'll cover them too. Well, we got up there. We thanked them for that. And they said, you know what? We realized that it would enhance your ministry to have your family here alongside of you. And so we were glad to welcome them. Wow, that was remarkable. But, you know, we had another time. Do you want to tell that story right now?
No.
Okay, we'll save that for later. Stick around. We got an interesting story to finish with.
So let's talk about what the Bible says about this, because it does.
Well, okay, sure. Let's go back to the scriptures. That's what we're about, right? Okay, well, let's start with this. Does the Bible give examples of family ministry? Well, yes, sort of it does. It doesn't make a big, you know, a big production of it, but we see that. Look at the Apostle Paul. You know, at the time when the Apostle Paul was writing those letters that became our scriptures, he was single at that time. Now, because of his past history, we're pretty confident that he was married, so he's probably a widower at this time. But one of the things he pointed out was that, you know, the other apostles have their wives traveling along with them. I'm entitled to do this if I had a wife, but, you know, I don't. And he talked about his singleness as, you know, that allowed him to go into dangerous situations. You know, one of the interesting things, though, is when he talks to the church in Corinth, when he's talking to these people about serving the Lord, he says, you know, it's a good thing if you're single that you can focus on the Lord. And yet, even so, he says, because of the sexual temptations that surround us, let each man have his own wife, and let each woman have her own husband. You know, he's talking about, hey, the ministry opportunities for a single person are great, and guess what? You still ought to seek to be married. It's good to be married for your personal development, your personal holiness, and the other things. And so, by the way, if you want to look those up, it's 1 Corinthians 7 is where he's talking about each of us being married, and it's 1 Corinthians 9 when he talks about traveling with wives. Well, you know what? That tells me that Paul looked at the itinerant ministry he was involved in and says, in dangerous situations, it's nice to be single, but the fact that you're married does not stop you from going out on the field.
No. And in fact, when we look at the qualifications for an elder
mm-hmm.
in 1 Timothy 3,
right,
it specifies that an elder be the husband of one wife
mm-hmm.
who rules his own household well, having his own children in submission with all reverence.
Oh, now, wait a minute. He said that he's the husband of one wife. Doesn't that just mean he's not polygamist?
Well, it sounds like it means he's married and has children.
Because look at the end of that verse.
Yeah.
At the end of that verse, it says, for if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God? That's almost like Paul is saying, look at that candidate for elder and say, how does he run his household? That assumes he's a household to run.
Yeah, you know, it is a part of our ministry. Marriage and family is a part of our ministry.
Mm-hmm.
And, in fact, it may be a qualification for ministry in some cases. Like, mm-hmm. I don't want to hear anybody talk about parenting who doesn't know anything about that, raising children.
Honestly.
But, so how do you manage a home, a marriage, ministry? You know, ministering with your kids can be as simple as we all go sing carols at the nursing home.
Right.
I want to talk about how do you involve your kids when you're doing ministry big time. When you are almost a pastor, like
a vocational ministry type of thing,
or you're involved in a family camp, or you're you've got some kind of ministry on the side, or maybe it's what you do full time, like us.
Mm-hmm.
How do you manage that with kids? How do you get them involved in your ministry? Should you?
Well, and also, how do you get other people to understand this and to accept it?
And now that's a thing.
That is a very real thing.
People have been very, and it, you know, it stuns me.
Yeah.
We speak about parenting. We have six sons, two daughters. That's eight kids. Now,
right.
Four of them are grown now, but still,
right.
There's four at home.
Mm-hmm.
And people are surprised when we show up with our family sometimes. And I'm like, what'd you think we do with them?
Seriously. And so, yeah, well, here are some suggestions. And let me just say this right off the bat. You know what? If you've got a family and you still want to be in ministry, you feel like you're called to ministry, you've got nothing to be ashamed of.
Yes.
Just be committed to your family and commit yourself that, hey, I think I should have my family with me and involved with me.
Yes.
You know what? Just be upfront about it. Because if you've got an organization, if somebody's hosting you and they are really very skeptical of you having your family, you need to know that up front.
You do need to know that. For example, some friends of ours were thinking about that they believed the Lord wanted them to go out on the mission field. And when they started talking to mission boards, some of them were very firm. You must put your kids in a boarding school. And they said, I must not be in your mission board.
Honestly, you know, if you believe that this is the course that God's calling you to take, then don't, you know, God will open the doors and you don't need to worry about that. So just go ahead and be committed, be upfront. You need to know earlier rather than later if that's going to be a problem.
Yeah, I think it's important to involve your family in your ministry as much as possible. You know,
mm-hmm.
a pastor's wife is not the pastor,
right.
But no matter what the church thinks about her, she is going to be a part of his ministry.
Oh, yes. Absolutely. And she's going to either be a help or she will be a hindrance if it's not right. You know?
And so getting your children involved is also pretty important because we've seen a lot that children of pastors and people in ministry often resent the ministry.
That is almost, it's almost a stereotype of the pastor's kids who...
The PKs
or the missionary kids who run wild, run rampant because, I don't know, sometimes it almost seems like they're trying desperately to get attention.
I think so. I think sometimes they feel like this is what daddy really cares about. This is what takes our parents away from us.
Mm-hmm.
This is what draws our parents' attention away from us. And, you know, I think that's a huge danger, Hal. And I think it's much more important to get your kids involved. You know, like, do you remember when we were first starting out? This is like 8 or 9 years ago, okay?
Right.
8 years ago, I guess. We were first starting out, and you had cancer.
And I was in chemotherapy, and although I was able to travel and speak, I wasn't allowed to be in crowds of people, like in book fairs and exhibit halls and things. And, yeah, I remember that very well.
And the doctor told you, well, you can go speak, but you cannot be standing there interacting with people in the book fair. And our kids said, don't worry, Dad, we will take care of the book fair. We're going to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And they just set it up. They ran it. They dealt with all the people all weekend. And I'll never forget when they came back to the room that night, they were like, guess how many copies of our book we sold?
They said our book.
Yes.
It wasn't mom and dad's book. It wasn't your book, parents. It was our family's book that we are all together out here to share with people.
Yes.
And to promote and to get a message across. And they had embraced that.
Yes.
We didn't coach them on that either. That came from them.
They saw it as their ministry, as our family's ministry. And that's so much healthier because when it's your ministry, when you take ownership of it and responsibility for it, you don't resent it the same way.
You know, I don't think our people, now this has been, what, 8 years down the road now?
Yeah.
And I don't think ours have resented the ministry we're involved in. In fact, the ones who are grown and are doing their own thing now will often travel with us from time to time. They'll take vacation and come travel with us sometimes because they just like what we do as a ministry. And so
I think their involvement's been about a huge part of that, Hal.
Yeah.
I think that, and so how do you do that? Like, let's say you're a pastor. Well, clearly they can't preach,
no. But
they can set up chairs.
Right.
And they can help you clean up, and they can help you organize things.
And your older kids can help you, you know, back check quotations or do research for you or do, you know, the assistant type stuff. I mean, there's lots of things.
They can help serve meals.
Sure. There's all kinds of things they can do.
What you've got to do, though, when your kids do help you in your ministries, you've got to be grateful. And you've got to point out to them their ministry. Like, I've often said to our kids things like, you know what? Because you were taking care of this, I was able to talk to this mom that needed help. That ministry was your ministry, too, mm-hmm. because you were making me able to do it. And that means a lot to our kids. Well, you know, afterwards, let's talk some more about this, but I want to mention the holidays are coming.
Yep.
You know, if you're listening to this when it was produced,
yes.
and we have something to help you out. It's called our Raising Real Men's Gift Guide for Boys.
Mm-hmm.
You go to raisingrealmen.com/gift-guide-for-boys.
Okay.
And it will give you tons of great ideas of things you can buy your boys of all ages, adult kids down to little ones.
Mm-hmm.
It'll have ideas of things, of gifts that you can feel really good about giving,
mm-hmm.
that you can feel like, hey, yeah, this is going to be a blessing to my child.
And I know how hard it is, you know, when you get busy and you get distracted and you've got a million different things you're trying to process. Sometimes even those great ideas that you had a couple months ago, you can't find them again. But this is something to kind of to stir your memory, to suggest some new things, to give you some opportunities to express your love and to encourage your sons in their pathway to godliness and maturity.
So raisingrealmen.com/gift-guide-for-boys.
Okay.
Okay. You know, so we have brought our kids along with us.
Right.
Sometimes that's been received well. Sometimes it's not.
Uh-huh.
You know, so you've got to be sensitive to other people's opinions.
Okay, that's an important thing, all right, to say that. That we may feel this is what God would have us to do and it's the right thing for us to do. But we need to recognize that we still need to be at peace with all men, just like the scriptures say.
And they may question whether you're really committed if you don't have your kids with you.
Well, I think one of the things is a lot of times, well, if your kids are in your ministry with you, they know the routine about travel, about how to get rest, how to be gracious to their hosts. They know because you've trained them and they're well managed and all the rest of that. They're used to this. Whereas, you know, I'm sure sometimes hosts think about your average kids who don't travel well, who don't know how to deal with strangers, who are picky eaters or whatever else. And so they look at that and think, oh, this could be a real disaster. This could be awful having these strange children in.
Well, that brings up part of it. You have to prepare your kids.
Yeah.
So like when we're going somewhere and before we get to a conference, we explain to our kids what's going to happen. And we explain what the schedule's going to be and when we're going to have time to spend with them and when we won't.
Yes.
We'll tell them where they're going to get food and how,
mm-hmm.
you know, where they can entertain themselves and how. You want to prepare them and tell them what behavior is expected.
You know, and this is part of ruling your own household well, you know. And, you know, another part of that is deputizing where you can. I mean, it's always been good to us to have the older teenagers that we can hand off to say, all right, you're getting a limited subset of your parents' authority in order to be the manager of this crew while we're speaking, while we're in meetings or whatever it is. And it's really important that you have them prepared and that you make an orderly transition. Kids, who's in charge? Your brother right over there is in charge. Remember, brother, you're not the tyrant, but if they give you a problem, they're rebelling against our arrangements. And by the way, kids, if he gives you a problem, then he's violating our trust. So you let us know that too.
I think it's important to be sensitive to the expense of including your family because a lot of organizations are struggling with their budgets. And
yeah.
So they see you and maybe you're lots of kids and they're scared of how much it's going to cost. I remember one organization
mm-hmm.
that had a special dinner
mm-hmm.
for, you know, the people that were there ministering.
Yeah.
And one couple brought their children and the organizers were really offended. Because
it hadn't really been communicated that this was just for the invited speakers. And the speakers thought, well, since we are coming as a family, we thought that was everybody was invited.
So you need to make it, you need to really ask questions
mm-hmm.
and about what you're including, what your children included, and always offer to bear your kids' expenses yourself. Now, some people say, oh, no, no, we'd be glad. We've had people take our whole family out to dinner.
Yeah.
You know, but you mm-hmm. shouldn't assume.
No, and an easy way to do that is just to tell your host, okay, great. We will look forward to the dinner, and I'll make some arrangements for the kids so you don't need to worry about that. And yes. that will, if that was in their concerns, they'll say, good, it's taken care of. And if they intended for your whole family, they'll tell you, oh, bring your kids along. That's an easy and graceful way to deal with that.
Recognize, too, that there's seasons in life.
Okay.
Because there's some times in your life that you're not going to be able to handle a family ministry. When we had all young children, there's no way I could have managed what we do.
That is so true. And you know what? There's things like if you were just like Paul was single, or if you're a young married couple with no kids, that you have opportunities to do things. You can pack up and go on wild mission opportunities. You can minister to have people in and living in your home or something to minister to their needs, that maybe when the babies come, that's just no longer going to be possible. That doesn't mean that the babies have ruined something. That means that you're in a different season and a different circumstance in your life. And God can use that circumstance in its own turn.
And it doesn't mean that you have to stop having babies, because having babies with you when you have teens to help you with them is a whole different thing. Because we traveled when our youngest was just a tiny baby, but we had older kids that could help us, that could hold her, that could help us out with her. And so,
and maybe like that young mother that was, saying, maybe I shouldn't have had children. Well, maybe God's ministry for you, if you feel called to a far distant ministry, maybe that's for later in your life. Maybe it's not for now. Maybe it's for when that last one goes off to college or something. We have friends who went off to the mission field when their kids went to college.
Yeah.
And that's not unusual.
And there's lots of things that you can do with young children that are ministry. You can bake cookies and take them to your neighbors, and reach out to them. You can bake cookies and take them to the nursing home. You can go to the nursing home and sing. There are lots of ministry things that you can do with your kids, even if you can't show up at a conference and handle all those little kids at once. But let's go quickly to the what I think is one of the most important things is, what about the kids?
Well, we
talk a lot about the other people. What about the kids?
Well, the scriptures talk a lot about parents not provoking their children to wrath, fathers in particular, but also you see reference over and over again about the mercy that a father has mercy on his children. A mother has mercy and tenderness toward her children. That they do need that from us. They need our compassion, even if we are doing ministry. And so we need to think about that. What do our children need? Because really, we're more responsible for our kids than we are for the larger congregation.
Yeah, the kids have to come first. Well, I think about how tired I am.
Yeah.
After a day of speaking and working in a book fair and stuff. I've got to recognize my kids are kids, and it's hard to be good all day. It's hard to be polite all day. And so we've got to have mercy on our kids and make sure they have time to rest, that they have time to play.
Well, and time to get out of the fishbowl, because I'm honest to goodness, we hear that from people who say, my parents were speakers or pastor or something, and we were always on stage. It was always eyeballs, people staring at us and expecting a lot of us. We need to have some time for our kids to just be our kids, and sometimes for our kids to have their own time to melt down and just be rambunctious or whatever.
Well, that's one reason I want an RV someday. Maybe the Lord will give it to us, so that we can just, instead of staying in hospitality homes all the time, maybe just pull over and let the kids run.
Well, one thing we discovered, the first year or two, I realized we can drive 500 miles a day. Yeah, we can. We actually can, but we're really tired at the end of it, and we see America through the passing scene behind the glass. And my kids and Melanie, everybody came to me very nicely after about 2 years and said, Daddy, can we slow down and actually visit America, not just watch it go by? And so I said, okay. So since that time, we've tried to cut back our breakneck pace when we can and say, let's make it, instead of spending 12 hours on the road, let's plan on 7 and then take some time for historic sites, go to the museum, stop for a picnic, do things,
run, play, be a family. Make sure you have time together as a family. It's really hard for kids to be on stage all the time. And even though they're not on stage performing, people are looking at them as ministry kids. And it's hard.
Yeah.
Sometimes, you just want to let go.
And sometimes they have very high expectations. Sometimes they have, conversely, low expectations, and they're watching to see what can be criticized.
But either way,
kids feel that pressure.
You know, Hal, one of the things that kind of surprised me is that sometimes when our kids don't behave, the Lord even uses that in our ministry.
And you don't really schedule that, and you try to manage things so that you don't have those accidental blessings. But I remember one time we spoke at a little church. I always think of it as the little church on the prairie. It was a snowy day. It was up in the Midwest somewhere. And the young pastor had invited us to come and speak about parenting. And we found ourselves in a church building really full of grandparents. But we said, well, we'll go ahead with it anyway. And so we're halfway through this presentation talking about effective child discipline. And suddenly our little girl, who is recovering from some pretty powerful medication, very hyperactive, she's about three. Two or three, just a little one. Well, older siblings were taking care of her in the back of the church, and she suddenly broke loose, ran up the length of the church, and when you got
down to the center aisle.
The center aisle. And when she got to the communion rail, she threw her leg over the rail and vaulted it and climbed up to this high platform that we were speaking from and comes right up there beside us in the middle.
Hal, I was so mortified.
Yeah, and I thought, okay, I'll keep talking and Melanie will deal with this little toddler then.
So I bent down, and I mean, I gave her the eyeballs. And I told her, I said, look, honey, you have to go back to your brothers and stay with them and be quiet. You cannot come up here while we're speaking. And I just explained the situation to her, you know, sotto voce, quietly.
Yeah.
And she hitches her leg back over the rail, runs back down the aisle, and goes back to her brothers. And, you know.
Well, we thought, okay, well, that just blew the whole thing up.
Yeah. I was mortified. But, you know, the interesting thing is afterwards, a couple came up and they said, you know, we're just listening to you. We've heard so many people talk about Christian parenting and just blah, blah, blah. But she said, or the dad, I don't even remember who said it, said, when your little girl came up the aisle and you just calmly bent down, dealt with her, and she obeyed you and went back and did what she was supposed to do, I thought, man, these people know what they're talking about. And you know what, Hal? That was the night that someone slipped us an anonymous $1,000 donation. I nearly fainted.
That never happens. And yet, that was one of those providential things, you know, that we have our family with us and it forces us to be transparent.
It forces us to be real, to be vulnerable, to really show that it's not about us, it's about Jesus Christ.
And in that situation, having our family there really just, it gave some validation to what we were saying about parenting and about dealing with children and dealing with, you know, children being childish. And so,
because you look up there, and I remember being a young mom and looking up there and seeing these families that looked perfect.
Right.
And you think, oh, I'm so far from that. But then when you see a family that's real, that's like you, and they're dealing with misbehaving kids too, you know what? It's much easier to follow and believe them. And so, don't be afraid to do ministry with your kids.
And so, you know what? Just take that with you. Because if you feel called into ministry or you want to even just try out some ministry opportunities, the fact that you have kids does not disqualify you. In fact, it may enhance the ministry God is giving you. Leave Him some space to do that. Allow for the fact that they are kids. Allow for the fact you may have to convince other people that your children are well-managed and well-behaved and won't be an embarrassment or a burden.
And sometimes they might embarrass you or burden you, but the Lord will take care of that too.
Be transparent about it. Look, we want to encourage you on that. And we are very encouraged by your support and your feedback. And so we want to tell you, look, please, if you like this program, go out and leave a review on iTunes or subscribe. If you don't already, go out to iTunes. You can go out to Google Play or some of the other podcast networks. And you know what else? You can get on our newsletter. We would love to have you on our newsletter. Come out to RaisingRealMen.com and follow the link to sign up for our newsletter so we can let you know every new episode when it comes out. And finally, if you want to be an ongoing supporter, people like you do help this ministry keep going. Go to Patreon.com, patreon.com/HalAndMelanie, and you can become a supporter. $1,000 a month, $1 a month, whatever. We'd love to have you on board. So, look, we appreciate you joining with us, and we appreciate your support. Pray for us. We hope to be talking to a lot of you. We've got some big announcements coming up, so please stay tuned. And are we ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. So, until next week, I'm Hal.
I'm Melanie.
All right. Thanks for listening.
Bye, y'all.
You've been listening to Making Biblical Family Life Practical with Hal and Melanie Young. If you found this program interesting, challenging, and encouraging, why not join us on the web at halandmelanie.com. That's HALANDMELANIE.com. Or follow us on social media. You can find us on Facebook at Facebook.com/HalandMelanie or Facebook.com/RaisingRealMen. This program is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Join us next week when we'll be back to talk about making biblical family life practical. Until then, thank you and God bless you for listening.